I think if it's all right with y'all, I'm going to stay right down here tonight. And you guys can get in my personal space and I can get in yours. How about that, huh? And we'll see what God has to say to us from His Word tonight. I was, when you get the call on Saturday morning and that the preacher can't be here, and then you get it confirmed Saturday afternoon and your mind was already thinking past today. You know what I'm saying? You have to kind of reboot a little bit and think about what is it God wants me to do in this situation. And so I got to thinking and praying last night and today, and I want to share something with you. What I think is just it's a good biblical principle about our heart and our desire to do what God wants, to do God's will. And so I'm going to start by just kind of giving you some history. You know, Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the Canaan land. That was the purpose. And along the way, he took them down to the tip of the Sinai Peninsula, to what's called Mount Sinai. And it's also called Horeb, Mount Horeb. And he left them at the bottom of that mountain encamped while he went up to the top. And while he was up there, God gave him several wonderful things. First of all, he gave him the Ten Commandments while he was up there. God wrote on tablets of stone with his finger the Word of God as we know in Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not. And then there's 10 of those, the top 10. You know what I'm talking about. And God gave him also the blueprint for the tabernacle. And so after Moses came down, he had already pitched a tent called the tent of meeting. And Moses would go outside of the camp, and he would meet with God in the tent of meeting. But afterwards, he had come down with that blueprint of what's called the tabernacle, the place where God met with his people and the priests did their work and the sacrifices were offered unto God. The blood offering was offered unto God. And out of that would come all the furniture of the tabernacle, like the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, the lamp, and various other tools, the brazen altar. There would be golden instruments like tongs or, I don't know what, they might call them forks or something to gather meat up out of the cauldrons and different things. But a lot of different instruments to do the sacrifices and the worship of God. That tabernacle would be pitched and repitched who knows how many times, because they moved around out there in the wilderness, as we remember, 40 years. And every time the pillar of fire would move or the cloud would move in the daytime, they had to break camp and they had to move with it, right? Well, when they got into the Canaan land 40 years later, they pitched that tent in Shiloh. And then they would also pitch that tent later in a place called Gibeon. Okay? The Ark of the Covenant would get lost not long after they got into the land. The first king was Saul after the time of the judges. And Saul had two sons called Hophni and Phinehas. Now the Ark of the Covenant was to be kept in the Holy of Holies, in the most holy place on planet Earth. And that was the place where God met with men through the high priest. But they decided that they were going to pull the Ark of the Covenant out like a rabbit's foot and take it into battle with them. They carried that into battle against the Philistines. And you know that God was not pleased with his people at that time. He was not pleased with Saul at that time. And that Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines. In fact, they carried it home. And they had it for a short time until they decided this thing's too hot to handle. They got sores all over their bodies and in some of the places you don't want boils and sores to come up. And they decided they were going to put that Ark of the Covenant on a cart with some mama cows that had just had some calves, and they were going to set those cows loose, pulling that cart, and see if it wouldn't take that Ark of the Covenant back to where it belonged. Well, you know that that's not how things work. If you put a calf up and you put its mama on a yoke and it's to pull a cart somewhere, that's not going to happen. But you know what? God took those mama cows and they took that Ark of the Covenant back to Israel on that cart. The Philistines didn't know anything about the Ark of the Covenant. As a matter of fact, God had given strict rules about the Ark. Number one, whenever you moved it, you covered it with certain skins. Then you took staves, and there were some holes in there. You slid those staves through. And the priests, the Levites, carried the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, covered to where it was going to be put back into the Holy of Holies. Well, it wound up in a place, the house of a man named Abinadab, after it made it back to the border of Israel. And it stayed there for some time, and God blessed the house of Abinadab. And David comes onto the scene as king, and David decides, I want to move the Ark of the Covenant up to where the tabernacle is. And at that time, it was at Gibeon. And he said, I want to put the Ark back where it's supposed to be. But he left out the rules and the laws that God had given to them about moving it. They put it on a cart like the Philistines did. And they begin to drive it up the road. And it says that there was a place in the road where the Ark of the Covenant started to shake on that cart. And Uzzah put forth his hand to steady the Ark. And instantly he was smote by God. He wasn't supposed to be touching it. It wasn't supposed to be moved like that. And David said, hold on, guys. We got to do something different here. So they took the Ark and they put it in the house of a guy by the name of Obed-Edom. And they put that Ark in his house for quite some time. I think it was 20 years from the time that it was taken by the Philistines until the time where you read in 2 Samuel when they finally got it right and they moved the Ark correctly to where it was supposed to be. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, the brazen altar was at Jerusalem. And when they moved it correctly the last time, the Ark of the Covenant was moved to Gibeon. But be that as it may, David was sitting in his house. I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. David was in his house. One day he was in a time of peace, and he was looking around himself, and he thought about it, and he said, you know, it's time for me to do something for God and for the Ark of the Covenant. So in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, we pick up the story, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the Ark of the Covenant dwells within curtains. It's in a tent. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? David, do you really think you can build me a house that would suit me? I mean, he's God, right? And the universe cannot contain him. So, David, that's a high ambition, but I don't think that you're going to be able to do it. So, look down at verse 8. Now, therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David. This is God speaking through Nathan to David. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepcot, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with you whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, and they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord tell thee that He will make thee an house. See, God's saying, David, I'm going to build you up. I'm going to put you in a place. And the people of Israel, I'm taking care of them. God never needed anybody to take care of Him, did He? He just reminded David of that. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And the Lord's getting prophetic here with David. He's not just talking about Solomon. He's talking about Jesus. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and the stripes of children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I have put away before thee, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now we understand there's some prophetic thoughts there. Jesus is on the throne and he will remain on the throne forever. But also laced in there, he's talking about Solomon, isn't he? And Solomon is going to be able to build a house for the Lord. But God stopped David and his dreams. God stopped David in the desire that he had. And he said, David, you're not going to do what's in your heart to do for me. I won't let it happen. It's not the time, and you're not the man. I want you to think about that for a minute. David is dreaming these huge, big dreams. He's wanting to do this really a magnificent work. He's wanting to build a beautiful temple for the Lord. But God said, no, you're not going to do it. I won't allow that. In fact, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn over to 2 Chronicles. We're just going to take a little journey through 2 Chronicles for just a minute. Okay, are you there? 2 Chronicles. Look at chapter 1 of 2 Chronicles. Verse 1. And Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. David has passed off the scene. David is with the Lord in heaven, and now Solomon is on the throne, his son. And Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and hundreds, and the judges, and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. I think a while ago I got it backwards. The altar, the brazen altar, was here at Gibeon. The Ark of the Covenant was now in Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord. And Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Now that's serious business, isn't it? Solomon is, he's preparing to do what his father couldn't do. He's preparing to build a temple. I'll turn over to chapter 2 of 2 Chronicles. And I want to continue this thought, this progression of where we're headed. Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew the mountain, and 3,600 to oversee them. So we got people falling trees, we got people bearing burdens. He sends to Hiram, the king of Tyre, and he gets a bunch of gold, silver, and all of this gathering of materials. Okay? And look now to chapter 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem and Mount Moriah. Well, there's a lot of history on Mount Moriah. A lot of history. We know that's where Abraham took Isaac. We learned in Sunday school this morning that's where David bought the threshing floor from Araunah. And now the Jebusites have been beaten and scattered, and David has had a palace at this place in Jerusalem, and the Ark of the Covenant's been there, and now Solomon is going to build the temple on Mount Moriah. And that's where Jesus would someday die on the cross. And someday he'll come back and his feet will touch down just across the way from Mount Moriah at the Mount of Olives. There's a lot of history right there in those little mountains in Jerusalem. And in Judea. And Solomon is going to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared, and the threshing floor of Arnah the Jebusite. And he began to build in the second day of the second month, in the fourth year of his reign. Gives us all the things that he gathered together to build the temple of God. Now look over to verse 1 of chapter 5. We're continuing this thought. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold, and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. For all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was the seventh month, and all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the Ark. They got it right, didn't they? They brought the Ark up there and put it in the holy place in the new temple. Now finally, look at chapter 6. Then said Solomon, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. The next time you get in a dark spot, just remember the Lord's there. But I have built a house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I've chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there. And I've chosen David to be over my people Israel. You wonder why that place on planet Earth is so special? That's the reason right there. God chose it. God put His name there. There's a lot of things still yet to happen at Jerusalem. Kind of getting exciting too, isn't it? What God is up to. But follow along with me. Now it was, verse 7, it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it is in thy heart to build a house for my name, you did well in that it was in thine heart. I want to stop right there for just a minute. David, way back, had a desire to do something for God. He dreamed big things for God. And God said, no, David, you can't do that. I won't allow it. Fast forward, Solomon builds the most beautiful temple that's ever been built. It was probably the wonder of the world, and if you and I could see it today, it would be the wonder of the world today. Overlaid with gold inside. You would walk in there. The floor was gold. The walls were gold. The ceiling was gold. The doors were, all of it was cedar from Lebanon overlaid with gold. There was angels carved into the doors overlaid with gold. The instruments, gold. Inside the temple. It's beautiful. Solomon put all kinds of other precious things into it. It would take centuries for other nations to defeat Israel and to carry off all of the wealth that Solomon was able to accumulate that God gave him. And most of it was surrounded in that area on Mount Moriah where the temple was. God allowed Solomon to do one of the greatest things that probably has ever been done. Who did he give credit to, though, whenever Solomon got finished and was dedicating that temple to the Lord? He gave credit to David. And this is why. He said, you did well, David, because it was in your heart to build the temple to me. You did well. I'm wondering tonight, what's in our heart to do for the Lord? What are we going to get credited for doing for the Lord? Now understand that God doesn't need us to do anything for Him, and everything that gets done by us is done by His power. I understand that. But I want you to think about this. There is the opportunity of God's people to surrender their life over to His service every day. To dream, to desire to do His work every day. What is in our heart and what are we going to have God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to someday? What is it? You know what's in your heart to do for the Lord? You know what's really in your heart to do for the Lord? It's seen by what you do with what's in your hands already. See, I want to take you back. Take your Bibles back to chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles. Just look at a few verses here. Of 1 Chronicles 29, the last of the chapters in Chronicles. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. What do you think he's talking about? For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. He's talking about building a temple. Now, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. The gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, the wood, the stones, diverse colors, all the precious stones, the marble in abundance. Verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Then I reached into my own pocket and gave. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and so forth and so on. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? That's a very good question, isn't it? Look at verse 5, that last phrase, and I think you ought to underline that in your Bible. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who's willing? Look at verse 16. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. You know, David got it right, didn't he? This isn't ours. We're just collecting your stuff. I know also, my God, that thou triest the hearts and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in an imagination of thoughts of the hearts of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshiped the God. See, it's evident in David's life that what was really in his heart to do for God was seen by what he did with what was in his hands. What we're really going to get credit for, so to speak, is what we're doing with what we got already. Not so much what we dream to do, so to speak. You see, you can't sit in your lazy boy recliner with your feet up and get credit for it. You understand what I'm saying? You have to be actively utilizing the gifts, the blessings, the talents, the time that God has given you now to get any credit for it. I could say, boy, if I had $1 million, I'd give God $500,000. What am I doing with the $500 that I have in my hands? I could say, Lord, if I could just sing like Dana, I'd get up there and sing a special. What are you doing with the voice that you do have? If I could teach like so-and-so, I would take on a Sunday school class. What are you doing with the knowledge and wisdom that He's already given you? If I just had the money, I'd go on a mission trip. Are you witnessing to your neighbor? What are we doing with the Sunday school that we already have? I mean, we would love to have maybe something bigger or better or whatever. But what are we doing with what we've got?
we'd love to see this place overflowing with people and chairs up down the aisle for other people to sit. But what are we doing with those who do come? What you're going to get credit for is what you're doing with what you have in your hands. See, David didn't get to build the temple. We got credit for it. Because he made the provision for it. That's the thought I have for us tonight. That's the principle I have for us from the Word of God. See, because it's about what you're doing with what you have already. You'll never do any more than what you're doing with what you have now. So God help us to utilize the gifts, the talents, the resource, and His Spirit that superintends it all. God help us to utilize what He's already given us. He that's been given little is required little. He that's been given a lot, there'll be a requirement of a lot. You're gonna give accountability to what you've been given. And he that's been faithful with a little, God can trust him with a lot. Amen. I want to be faithful with the little bit I got. Doesn't that put going to a casino and dropping your money down in a slot? Doesn't that give it a whole new look? God's going to hold us accountable, isn't He? What He's given to us. We better take good care of it. One of these days it's going to be like those guys He gave those talents to, and some of them took it and doubled it. One of them took it and buried it. You know what he said? I knew you were a hard master, and you required that which was given. But you know what he really wants? He wants you to take what you got. I'm not talking about going to the casino and doubling your money. He wants you to take what you got and make it grow for him, for his kingdom, his way. So what's in your heart to do for the Lord? It's what you're doing with what's in your hands. That's what's really in your heart. Let's pray. Father, I took a long time around to get to where I was going, Lord, but I thank you for your word. It's just full of precious jewels and gems, and help us to know you better by knowing your word better. Lord, lead us this week in your paths. Help us to have divine appointments. And Lord, help us not to squander anything that you've given us, but Lord, help us to use it for you, for the kingdom. Lord, use us for your holy name's sake. Thank you for this precious church. Thank you, Lord, for the leadership that is here. I pray your blessing on First Baptist Salisaw. And Lord, do through it what you would want to do. May your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.